Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Francine Foss and Lynn Wilson. I'm Bruce Barber. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology, specializing in the treatment of lymphomas. Dr. Wilson is a professor of therapeutic radiology and an expert in the use of radiation to treat lung cancers and cutaneous lymphomas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This week, Francine is pleased to welcome Eileen Kaplan. Eileen is the author of Laughter is the Breast Medicine, a book about her experience with breast cancer. Here's Francine Foss.
Let's start off by talking a little bit about your experience with breast cancer.
Sure.
Can you start off by telling us about your first diagnosis, how you found out you had breast cancer, and how you felt?
Well, I was doing my regular breast exam, my monthly breast exam, in the shower, and as I was rolling up the right side of my right breast, I felt a really significant knot, and I knew immediately it was a tumor. There was no question in my mind. So I got out of the shower and called my primary care physician's office. Actually, I called my gynecologist's office first, which is in Boston. And she said, well, check with your primary care physician first, Eileen, before you make a run up to Boston. So I said, okay. So I called my primary care physician's office, and the receptionist said to me, well, you have an appointment next week. Why don't we just wait until you come in next week and we'll have the doctor check you? And I said, thank you, but no thanks. And I called Boston back and told them, they said, come right in tomorrow morning. The reason I was in Boston is really quite an interesting story. There were four girlfriends many years ago who decided we really loved shopping in Boston. And so one day we took a ride to Boston and we went into the Brigham and Women's Ambulatory building and scouted out a group of doctors, four gynecologist women. And we each made an appointment with one of the doctors. So we made the appointment at the same time. We all had our mammograms at the same time. We got out at the same time, and then we went to Bloomingdale's. So that's how I happened to be in Boston at the time that I found this cancer.
So you did go up to see them, and you got the mammogram right away?
Yes, there's a mammogram right away. And then, of course, we went to an ultrasound, and the ultrasound showed what I had found was definitely a bad girl there.
Had you been having annual mammograms?
Yes, annual mammograms. All from the time I was 40 years old, I had a mammogram every single year.
And this never showed up on any of them?
To my knowledge, no. To my knowledge, nothing ever showed. As a matter of fact, when I was in treatment, my oncologist said to me that particular tumor had probably been seeded and growing there for about 5 years.
Well, so did you ever consider yourself a person who is at risk for breast cancer?
Not really. I never really thought of it. And one day I was actually decided I was going to help the American Cancer Society. And I was in there. We were planning a big fashion show. And I was sitting at a table with about 14 women. And every one of them, from all ages, were all cancer survivors. And I'm sitting there and saying to myself, why am I here? I seem a little out of place. But it was really just one of those unusual happenings. And soon thereafter, I found my cancer.
So it sounds like you had a lot of exposure with cancer and cancer survivors being involved in this group. How did you feel when you found out that you had cancer?
Well, I didn't get crazy. I knew that there was a cancer there. There was a tumor there. I wanted to see the doctor, get it taken care of, and go on with my life. The first couple of days, of course, when you get a diagnosis, you're shaken. You expect it, but you don't expect it. And my husband and I just hugged and cuddled for a couple of days, got over the big bump in the road, And he said to me, I wish I could take it from you so you wouldn't have to go through this. But we made it through. And after that, I was fine. A little anti-anxiety medication helped me for a few days. And I went on and to meet my breast cancer surgeon, who was absolutely magnificent.
So from the time that you had the biopsy till the time that they told you you had cancer, how long was that?
Quick. It was, I had the biopsy, and within days, my breast cancer surgeon called me and told me that it was cancer. And then I was quickly scheduled for a lumpectomy.
Can you talk about what your treatment was? Did you get chemotherapy? Did you get radiation therapy?
Yes, I had the entire course. I had a lumpectomy, and I was fine. And it wasn't a great deal of difficulty for me going through that. However, then I had chemotherapy, 4 infusions, and lost my hair, which really didn't bother me because hair grows. And then I went on to have radiation therapy closer to home in near my hometown. And it was really very interesting. I was lying on my bed resting after my treatment that particular day, checking my breast as I always did, checking all the time. And I was rolling around on my good breast, which was my left breast. And I was rolling around doing my check, and I found another tumor on the left side, which was really in a very odd place. It was between 2 ribs and very close to my sternum. And I knew immediately that it was a tumor. It was just one of those crazy things. So I called Boston right away and saw my breast cancer surgeon within a day after that. And it was so tiny, actually, that they had to do an MRI to really, really spot it because it was minuscule.
And did they go ahead and take that one out as well?
Well, I had them both taken out at the same time because I had my breasts removed.
Okay, so you went for bilateral mastectomy at that point.
I did. After we found that tumor, and I went through all the pros and cons of having mastectomy, having conservation, and I'm saying to myself, well, Eileen, you know, this is one tumor here in June, and you found another tumor on the other side in November. What is this telling you? So I had a boob survey with all my girlfriends, and everybody agreed that if the same thing had happened to them, or even one side, that they would immediately have both their breasts removed. They would not want to deal with the emotions of conservation and worry. So I decided, after I put all my facts together between conservation and mastectomy, that I was going to have both the breasts removed.
Can you talk about making that decision? Did you get all of the information that you needed from your healthcare providers, from your doctors, or did you also go online? Did you read other people's books about the topic? How did you really come to that decision to get the mastectomies?
I did not do a lot of research. I am formerly an X-ray technician, so I knew all about the body. And I have heard from so many people already who had breast cancer, and they found a lump, and they did lumpectomy, and then they went through everything. They were fine, then they had recurrence. And I usually make rather quick decisions. I had a long meeting. My husband and I had a very long meeting with my breast cancer surgeon, and I laid out the facts, and I said, I know 95% recovery rate and survival if you have conservation, and 95% survival rate if you have your breasts removed. And that really bothered me a little bit, because you think that, well, you know, I'm going to have my breasts removed, it's gone. So I was fortunate enough that I found the tumors very early, and they hadn't reached my lymphatic system, which to me was God-given, very big. And putting all of these things together, and my tumors were HER2 negative. I would not have been able to have taken any of the medications after my mastectomies. And so I decided that there were too many cons and the pros were on my side. To have the breasts removed, I just decided that day, breasts removed, go on with my life.
So now that that's all over and done with, what advice would you give to a woman who's facing that decision today? Do you feel that the decision is pretty much made based on what the surgeon recommends, or do you feel like there's still some negotiation? And how should a woman think about that?
Well, actually, my breast cancer surgeon said, you know, Eileen, we probably should do conservation. He said, because the tumors are really small. And of course, one was gone already by lumpectomy. And I'm just an advocate for doing what really your gut feeling is. And my gut feeling was for myself that I would not have cancer on my body or have to worry every day, where is the next lump coming after I had 2 in 5 months, and worry more and more and have to check my breasts every day. And you just don't know what's going to go on once you conserve as well. There would be more biopsies and there would be more needles in your breasts. And I just didn't want to deal with it. I just felt that I had a great deal of support. My husband told me, I don't care what you have. I only want you.
So for you, this really was a sense of assurance in a way that you had gotten rid of the problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did not want to take any chances of having another lumpectomy and then coming back in another 6 months and saying we have a recurrence in one of the breasts. I just did not want to deal with it. And I felt that I had really been fortunate to have found them while they were still hadn't escaped and hadn't reached my lymphatic system, and I just wanted to get the breasts off.
I think the important message with what you're saying is also the self-examination, because these lumps did not show up on mammogram.
To my knowledge, they did not. And I feel that breast examination is really a very important part of advocating for your body wellness. I think that there's a reason for it. Even though people may not find their cancers, their lumps, their bumps, or whatever, when they're doing their breast self-exam, I feel it's an integral part of advocating for yourself and your wellness and awareness of what's going on with your body as part of all the other things that we have to have, the mammograms, the ultrasounds, and so on and so forth.
So, Eileen, did you take any treatment after the mastectomy, or were you done at that point?
I was finished.
No hormones?
No hormones. I couldn't take them anyway because of the negativity of my original tumors. And so I walked out of Brigham with no breasts and no cancer.
Eileen, we're going to talk a little bit more about your story and particularly about your book when we come back after a short break for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more about Eileen Kaplan's experience with breast cancer.
It's estimated that nearly 200,000 men in the U.S. will be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year, and over 2,000 new cases will be diagnosed in Connecticut alone. 1 in 6 American men will develop prostate cancer in the course of his lifetime. Major advances in the detection and treatment of prostate cancer have dramatically decreased the number of men who die from this disease. Screening for prostate cancer can be performed quickly and easily in a physician's office using 2 simple tests, a physical exam and a blood test. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers like the one at Yale to test innovative new treatments for prostate cancer. The Da Vinci robotic surgical system is an option available for patients at Yale that uses 3D imaging to enable the surgeon to perform a prostatectomy without the need for a large incision. This has been a Medical Minute, and more information is available at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Francine Foss, and I'm joined by my guest today, Eileen, who is a breast cancer survivor and who's authored a book called Laughter is the Breast Medicine. So we talked a little bit, Eileen, about your experience with breast cancer and how you opted at the end of the day to undergo bilateral mastectomies. Can you segue us from that to what happened next and how you ended up writing a book?
Well, I have always had a really wild and crazy sense of humor. It's been with me since I'm a kid. And before I found the tumor, I was reading through my high school yearbook, and underneath my picture it said, "She shall have laughter wherever she goes." So it really has followed me. Laughter, a sense of humor, has followed me through everything I've done in my life. And I really wanted to make the doctors smile. I mean, they go through horrible days seeing so much unpleasantness that my goal was always to crack them and make them smile and make them become friends with me as well as their being my physician. And that's what we did. My husband was with me when I had my first exam with my breast cancer surgeon in Boston, who I might say, can I name him?
You certainly can.
I can. Dr. Mayra Golshan, who is now Director of Breast Surgical Services at Dana-Farber and Brigham and Women's Hospital. And my husband was with me when we were having the first exam, and he said something really funny, and Dr. Golshan laughed and blushed, actually, and that was the beginning of a wonderful friendship with my doctor.
Tell us about the book.
The book. The book came from really encouragement from my team there. They said I drove them crazy with all my questions and my humor, and when I approached something, I always turned it into something positive and humorous and something to laugh at. And that's what I tried to do the entire time I was going through finding out and my diagnosis and going through all the rigors of treatment. So I didn't have a problem really making them laugh. And Dr. Golshan was sitting there one day. He said, "You know, Eileen, you really should write a book. You have just driven us crazy for the past year. Well, you've got to put it down on paper." So I just didn't initially jump out of the hospital and start writing. It was during my recovery that one day, it was maybe a year later, I didn't have the inclination to write a book, and I've never written anything before. But I was in the shower one day, and the first line of the book sort of just fell out of my head. And I figured, oh, gee, this is a good start. So I used that as the foundation for the book and followed it with vignettes of my going through treatment from diagnosis through to walking out of the book healthy with no breasts.
So can you take us through the book? The book is basically your experience with breast cancer?
Yes. The book is my experience with breast cancer from the outset. Actually, it starts with when my breasts grew when I was a little girl. That's how I started the book and went through to the time at the end of the book that I am now a big girl and I have no breasts. But each story is a little vignette about each of the things that happened and I did while I was going through the diagnosis and the treatment and the chemo and the radiation therapy. And that's basically what I was my take on the humor. I just put humor with everything that I did.
Did anybody help you with the book? Did anybody proofread the book with you? You know, what was the process of actually writing the book and getting it done?
It was really very interesting. I wrote it and wrote it and wrote it, and then I read it with my husband, who is a retired school teacher, so he had a really sharp eye for all of the things that I had written. And I had an editor that worked with me that edited the book twice, actually, before it was published. And she was really wonderful. She really knew what she was doing. And she said, "Well, what are you going to do, Eileen? You're going to give it to a big house to publish, or are you going to self-publish?" So I knew that to go to a big house, publishing house, I would have to have had probably about 250 proposals written to find an agent to take it to a publishing house. I decided to do it myself. So I had it edited. I found a designer in California who designed and formatted the book for me. And I found the printer. And out came Laughter is the Breast Medicine.
So how long has the book been out?
The book has been out for a little over a year, about a year and 4 months. And of course, you know, it has baby legs. And I'm a very aggressive marketer myself from having been in business prior to writing the book. So I have marketed the book very aggressively myself. And now it's starting to be that I'm getting phone calls to speak here, to keynote there, to be part of all these exciting things that are going on. And if I can help one person through a bump in the road, it's my pleasure, actually. My doctor in Boston selects particular patients of his who he thinks might get some really good help from me. And so I get a message from Boston by email, and they say, Eileen, we have someone who would like to talk to you. So they give me their, it's always, you know, they approve for my phone call and vice versa. And so I ended up mentoring about 12 women, probably, that my, under the auspices of my breast cancer surgeon, of course, that they have sent me from Boston. And I have friends all over the country, actually.
That's very impressive. Can you talk a little bit about anybody who's read your book, who's talked to you?
I have had so many wonderful, inspiring people tell me that they have really enjoyed the book. Some people have said, you know, their whole family has been through cancer, so they knew about everything I was going to say. But after they read the book, it was so different. And they knew that one of the people in the book was one of their sisters. And she was just, it was really a very funny story. So I had to use it. At the end of the book, I used quips and bits and pieces is what I did. I used bits and pieces of quips and things of stories that I have received over the time between I started writing and the book was published. And at the end of the book, I had a very fabulous story about a longtime friend who we had never met each other, who found out that I called him and told him I had breast cancer, and he was just beside himself. The last story in the book is about my friend Henry.
Do you think that the book has some inspiring moments that people who don't have breast cancer can benefit from? People who say have other kinds of cancer?
I do. I think it's not necessarily breast cancer, but it's cancer and how you approach it. I mean, I know when I have spoken to survivors groups, keynote speaking, that I just don't speak about breast cancer. I use all the cancers that are more common to people's knowledge, like lung cancer and colon cancer, melanoma, and ovarian cancer. And I bring that into my presentations when I speak to a big mixed group. I don't let the men get away with anything, actually, even with prostate cancer. So I give them a good jab as well.
This may be a tough question, but when did you first know that you were a cancer survivor, and how have you evolved as a cancer survivor?
I knew I was a cancer survivor when my doctor said to me, you are free of cancer. I knew that I had made it. And initially, going back as well, when I received the phone call that I had negative nodes, and I was in the grocery store with my husband, and the doctor called me. It was a Saturday afternoon, 4:30 in the afternoon, and he told me, Eileen, he said, the nodes are negative. There's no cancer in the nodes. And I was shouting in the aisles of the grocery store, I have negative nodes. I have negative nodes. And I just knew that I could beat it. There was just something in me that told me that this was part of beating it, that it had not reached my lymphatic system. And when Dr. Golshan said to me, "You are free of cancer," I went on with my life. I went on with my life.
It sounds like your life has certainly evolved, and a large part of what you're doing now is breast cancer advocacy.
Absolutely. Breast cancer advocacy, body awareness. Don't forget to check those breasts. It's so important. Even if you don't feel anything, you know your breasts' history. So if you're checking yourself on a monthly basis and all of a sudden 1 month you feel something you didn't feel the month before, it's on your side. It's on your side that you were doing this. And I know that there are cancers that you cannot feel, like lobular cancer is a very tough one. But inflammatory breast cancer, we know, also is a really tough one. But I think that advocating for yourself, knowing your body, knowing the cancers, knowing what's out there, there's so much out there, that it really leads you to being well and going forward with your life, and knowing with the knowledge that you have read and you know all of these things that to look for. And that's really the way I've done it. I love mentoring. I love speaking. And this has really been something that has just evolved from my breast cancer.
If a woman out there has breast cancer and they want to try to hook up in a network or talk to somebody else with breast cancer or get information about breast cancer, can you talk a little bit about what the steps would be for them?
Well, you know, there is a really wonderful a woman out in California that I've touched base with called the Pink Link. And they can go right on the website. They can go right on their website and look for pinklink.com. And what she does, Vicki Tashman, she links people together who are, quote unquote, suffering from the same thing, need the same help, need the same encouragement. And I found knowing Vicki was really, I didn't know her when I was going through this. I met her afterwards by computer. And she is just darling. And I think her Pink Link is really extraordinary.
Do you think that there's enough support out there for breast cancer nowadays? Do you think that we need more money, more support, more advocacy for women?
Well, we always need more money because we haven't found the keys yet to eradicating it. But what we have found, I believe, from all the money that has been invested in breast cancer is curing many of the breast cancers, which has, you know, there are a lot of women out there one of my friends is 18 years out from when she had her mastectomies. And she's alive and well and walking and just an absolutely perfect individual. So we know that you can survive. And it's not an easy task, but put yourself in your positive bubble. And that really helps you to go forward with your treatment and all the people that are around you that are really the angels that keep you floating. I think that there's much more out there now than used to be to help people through this really difficult time in their lives.
Eileen Kaplan is a breast cancer survivor and the author of Laughter is the Breast Medicine. If you have questions or would like to share your comments, visit yalecancercenter.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. I'm Bruce Barber, and you're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.